expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. We are on air.
Okay, we can't hear it. It's stuttering. It's sputtering, going in and out.
We are on air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is Tuesday, and this is Kenny Hendricks with Change Matters Solutions. We're here for another one of our lively talk shows. We hope you join us. If you want to join us, the number is 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660, and the passcode there is 549032. And if you want to join in and you're on that line, go ahead and hit *61. If you want to send us an email, send that to changematters99@gmail.com. Again, this is Change Matters Solutions. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And I am Colette Williams, and thank you for joining us. It is a little bit after 8 a.m. here in sunny, very cold, rainy California, LA, California. Thank you for joining us. We've got a very live show for you this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about the election and what's going on the road to the White House. And Ken, as I was telling you just a little while ago, I stayed up to watch Jimmy Kimmel last night, and the POTUS was on Jimmy Kimmel, and that is the President of the United States. He is so suave until it is just incredible. He puts the suave in suave. He's very, very funny. And they talked and asked about him leaving and asked him why he couldn't stay another 4 years. He said if he stayed another 4 years, Michelle would divorce him. But apparently, apparently, they love him. Folks love him. I don't care what other people say. That man is loved. He is respected. He is the man.
You know, people on the right probably
they don't want to say it, but they love him too.
No, they don't. They hate him. Late last year, they were saying he's going to declare martial law and to make sure he stays in another 4 years. And as a matter of fact, a friend of mine who I thought was reasonably
intelligent,
astute, yeah, on these sorts of items, because I know he reads a lot and he's always sending me stuff. He says, you know, Obama's going to declare martial law. I went, yes. Really? Yeah. Mm. You know, that is not going to happen. So I put something on Facebook. This was a couple of months ago. Said, okay, all you folks, there's no martial law. There's no white slaves. Jade Helm hasn't taken over. You know, and they had all these conspiracy theories of things that he was going to do to try to make himself into a monarch. It's pretty ridiculous. Pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
It is very, very ridiculous. The man has so much integrity. He exudes integrity. To me, he does. He really, really does. And he's very, very calculating about what he says. He doesn't make missteps. He doesn't say, oops, I didn't mean to say that. Well, what I meant was, he doesn't go through all that. He's very smooth in his delivery. He does hesitate in that delivery, but nevertheless, he is very, very smooth. He's very thoughtful in his delivery. And in mean tweets on Jimmy Kimmel, he read all his mean tweets, and they were hilarious. And then, of course, the real moron, he sent in a mean tweet. He said, the president will go down as the worst president in the history of this country. And the president read it. He had this look on his face, and he said, at least I'll go down as president. Wow.
Oh,
it was funny.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. Oh, and the look on his face said, yeah, MF, I have been president 2 times. Oh, my God. It was so funny. It was so funny. And you could hear the audience just, oh, Lord, it was so funny.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, he's behind in the polls.
Polls are phony. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's telling supporters he's winning. Really, fool? Really? In what, on what planet? Maybe on Pluto, but not here, buddy.
Well, I had to remind people that Romney didn't believe the polls either. If you recall, right around this time, Romney was saying the polls were skewed. They're doing all these weird things with the polls. So we're winning. We're going to win. And
they voted for me.
You can YouTube the meltdown that the people at Fox News had when they announced, when they finally had to announce that Obama had won a second term. The people on Fox News, I think it was Megyn Kelly, they made her get up out of her chair and go down into the basement where all the number crunchers were, the bean counters, and ask them, are you guys sure? And they said, yep. They had a complete meltdown. Sarah Palin was on there. What is the term about her face being broke?
Yeah.
She had a meltdown. Karl Rove had a meltdown. It was incredible.
Well, guess what? They better get ready. They better get ready. And then Jimmy Kimmel asked the president, why is it that people do not like Hillary Clinton? Why is it that they are just so against her? And he says, you know, it's really about the fact that they don't trust her. Why is it that they just don't trust her? And he said, you know what? Nobody's perfect. However, she's very trustworthy. She's been there. She's got the experience. She does not go out and pretend. She is a person who tells it like it is. Even though you think that she is mistrusted, you think that she's untrustworthy, she's dishonest, all these things, she really isn't. And his delivery was, for me, based on what I saw, he is very sincere. He does not come across in that setting as a person that you could not trust or a person that was being dishonest. And he talked about why he trusts her and why he thinks that she needs to be president. In fact, he called her the president. He said, when she takes over, when she becomes president, she will be. So, as far as I'm concerned, it looks like that's exactly where he and the country need to go. That's where he is. And he is encouraging people. And he didn't say that, but you can tell in his delivery and the things that he says, he's encouraging everybody that votes to vote in that direction.
Well, she's got the Clintons have baggage. You know, they've got a lot of
Everybody has baggage. There are no perfect people.
Yeah, absolutely. There are no perfect people. And again, I've said it before. I've made it clear that, you know, I'm not a Hillary fan. I wasn't a Bill fan either. But given the two choices, I think we've got some of the things that, you know, the reason that people don't like Hillary, to me, a lot of them are typical politician sorts of things. Politicians lie. Politicians say they're going to do one thing and they don't do it. They don't get things done. It's a game. I don't expect them to do. You know, when a politician comes in, the president comes in and says he's got a list of 20 things he wants to get done. You know, if he gets 5 done, that's
right.
doing something.
Exactly.
So I have no problem there. But given the choices we're faced with. Someone who knows the system. You know, when these folks saying we want an outsider is not going to be able to get anything done. Show someone who knows the system is actually, at some point, you know she can be controlled. Donald Trump is completely out of control. He is a petulant child.
Yes, he is.
I read an article from his ghostwriter yesterday that said he is a man with a 200-word vocabulary. which I completely believe. The man, and he says he has. He said,
"Are you sure it was a two-word vocabulary?"
He speaks like a second grader, and they talked about that.
Like I said, a two-word vocabulary.
When you hear him say something different, it's because he heard it from somebody else.
Exactly.
After Hillary started talking about his temperament, he started saying, "I have a great temperament." And there are several other things that don't come to mind right now where he never talked about it until somebody said it, and then he comes back and says it. Because the man, he's astonishingly ill-informed, not very well-spoken at all. He's got, no redeeming qualities at all. And he gets into these Twitter battles, these fights with anybody. It is very.
Who's doing that at 3 o'clock in the morning? What person of integrity? What person running for president? What man of any distinction is going to get into a Twitter battle at midnight, at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning? Really?
And you know, he says he will only accept the election if he wins.
Oh, really? Well, you know what? You're going to have a hard way to go, bud.
Well, you know, it's he's stoking people. He's stoking people. He's getting people really, really pissed off. He's talking about voter fraud. Let me play this clip for you that I've got where he's talking about the voter fraud, and he's only going to accept the election if he wins. Let me see if I can get this played.
Well, you know, the other thing.
Of the United States that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
And they go crazy. He's still in again, I've said this all along. I don't think he wants to be president. He's having fun. He absolutely adores being in front of the camera. That's he's at his best doing things extemporaneously. Right. He doesn't like having to.
He's not at his best.
Well, that, just, for his people. He's at
yeah,
his best.
Yeah, for his people. Exactly.
He can't stay on message. He really has no policies.
He has no message.
They write it up for him, and he can get spend about 10 minutes on it, and then he flies off the handle, because that's what he wants to do. He just wants to be in front of the crowd. He loves the adulation. He loves the people clapping and everything for him. And if he could do that, and I said this before, if he could do that for the rest of his life, he'd be fat, dumb,
he'd
and happy.
He'd be okay. Yeah, he'd be okay. And he is fat, dumb, and happy. He is that. Mm-hmm. He definitely is that. But he just doesn't have what it takes. He is not fit as the news reporters and the president and his opponent have said. He just isn't fit. He does not have what it takes to be president. And just as the president said, if he gets rattled by something small on the campaign trail, what is he going to do if by some chance he got there? What is he going to do then? And the world cannot have somebody like that. The world cannot have someone who has no control. No control of themselves, no control of their emotions, gets pissed off, calls people names, insults people, plays the nanny 2-year-old game. He is a second grader. Really?
Like during the debate when she said, he said, and the way he said it, Putin has no respect for it. That person. It's like, wow. And then Hillary had a great comeback. She said, you know, that's because he needs a puppet. Oh, yeah. I'm not a puppet. I'm not a puppet.
You're a puppet.
You're the puppet.
You're
and he said
you're
it like three times. It's like,
yeah. You're a puppet. I'm not a puppet. You're a puppet. What president does that?
Yeah.
President does that? Not one that I know. Not one. And it's really interesting that he does not even begin to think about how presidents or presidential candidates conducted themselves prior to going to the White House. Everyone that conducted themselves in the presidential campaign, they never went through the kind of things that he does. And I'm sure
it's called a modicum of decorum, has none.
Yeah, he has no decorum. He really doesn't. He really doesn't. And the idea that he can be mocked, and what's his name? Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he does a great job.
He does a good moron.
I think that's the best of all of them. Of everyone that's ever been done.
Oh, he's good. He is really good. And he says, why is it that the media, they mock everything, every dumb thing I say. Oh, my God. They come back. And why do they do it? Because it's true. It's me. And it is. And the two Baldwin brothers, there is one supporter, one Baldwin brother that is a supporter of that person. And then Alec Baldwin does the spoof. And it is just hilarious. It is just absolutely hilarious. But the other part of that is that it's so true. It is so absolutely right on. He is just not a bright person. He's not a bright person. His kids ought to be embarrassed. His wife ought to be embarrassed. And I'm sure most of you who are in the listening audience, I'm sure you saw the Al Smith dinner. And people are talking about it went in the wrong direction. It of course, he took it to a different level, the lowest you could find at the dinner. And Hillary is so corrupt. Really? And if you could see the expression on the faces of the people who were seated behind him. Oh, my God. And I'm sure when they finished that, they said he won't get asked to come back. He will not be invited again. Mm-hmm. How in the world? Really? How in the world? And he had the audacity to say something about, I forgot how he began it, but he said, Michelle Obama gave a speech. And the interesting thing, no, he says, Michelle Obama gave a speech, and everybody loved it. Everybody just loved it. But when Melania gave the same speech, they jumped all over her.
That was actually a good one. That was actually a good one.
that was crazy. Yeah, plagiarized. That was plagiarism. And you're going to use that as a joke? Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, yeah, that was a good... Yeah, that just goes to show you how dumb the two of you are.
The Republican Party is on life support. And the hospital is having power outages. That's how bad. Right now, Breitbart escalates the war on Paul Ryan. Okay, they got rid of Boehner because he wasn't conservative enough. They put Paul Ryan in there. Now they don't like him.
Lord.
They are upending the Republican Party like we've never seen before. But again,
they're pulling the plug tomorrow. They are going to pull the plug. He has no breath left.
They allowed this to happen when the Tea Party started and the birther movement and all these far right wing wackos and Sarah Palin and all the crazy things she said. And it made it right for somebody like Trump to come along and basically take it as far as it can go. The hypocrisy, they talked about, we want somebody who is truly a conservative, truly evangelical, has conservative credentials and conservative bona fides, all of this, and Trump is none of that.
No.
He's absolutely none of the things that they're looking for.
No.
He changes position, and politicians change their positions all the time. That's nothing new. But everything he said he was, the moment he decided to run, he changed. And if you, he was,
because it's always been all about him.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's always been all about him. So instead of him making it about the country and making the country brighter, better, doing something for the people, it's all about him. It's all about him. And it doesn't go any further than that. He is simply a man stuck on himself, in love with himself, and it takes Jimmy Kimmel to really show you how crazy he is. Everything begins and ends with I. Everything, the beginning, I, the middle, I, the end, I. I'm better, brighter, smarter. And he isn't. He really isn't. He is not a smart man. And for those people that say, yeah, he's a smart man, he has all these hotels, he built businesses. You know what, people? Take a look at that. Do your homework. Do your homework. He is not a smart man, because smart men in business, first of all, will never file bankruptcy four times. Smart men in business will never say they didn't pay taxes because they used all of the tax advantages. He took advantage of all of that. Smart men don't do that. Billionaires don't do that, and they don't need to do that. And they conduct themselves in a way that will not put them out front, where people have an opportunity to scrutinize everything that they do and say, he is not a smart man. He is not a smart man. And I'm telling you, we were in Vegas and the hotel was dark. He is not a smart man. Smart men never decide, I'm going to have water, I'm going to have hats, I'm going to have t-shirts, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Steaks and all this. And they've all failed. Every one of them all failed. The only thing he's actually succeeded in is hotels and his golf courses. Even the casino failed.
Right.
You know, and who loses money running a casino?
Exactly.
You know, and you talk about him not caring about anything. It's about him. No. That's why when he said something about I think it was when Ryan didn't support him initially. He said, "Well, I won't support Ryan, and I'll take my toys and go home." He says, "I'm making a lot of money for the Republican Party. I'll just take it elsewhere." They're threatening each other. Right. Sarah Palin said, "If these politicians don't vote for Trump, they will be held accountable."
He received $17 million in 2005 for damage to his hotel in Florida. He received $17 million. That does not make him smart. That makes him corrupt. He received $17 million from the insurance company. Okay? And people will say, well, that makes him smart. He knew he could file for the damage of his hotel, so he's smart. Really? If he's got so much money, he didn't need to. And not only did he not need to file, he should have made sure from the very beginning that his hotel could withstand the damage that could have been done. He is not a smart man. Smart men don't conduct themselves the way he does. Smart men don't. Smart men who are men of integrity, whose character is above reproach, that is not how they conduct themselves. I know a whole lot of smart businessmen. They do not even come close to that. So come on. Come on, people. Do your homework.
There's an article on New Century Times where it talks about Trump no longer wants to run for president, sabotages his own campaign.
Right.
People who are actually can see things are starting to really realize what's going on. And they start this article out by saying, let's face it, Trump never really wanted to be our commander-in-chief in the first place. Many reports have explained that Donald Trump could be using this election for a different motive. His lack of experience and temperament are not the only things holding him back. You know, he's tried, and you know, now the talk is he may be starting Trump TV. As I think during starting a few days ago, they started a Facebook live stream. And Boris Epstein, one of his surrogates, was on there. And they had, I think, Scotty Nell Hughes and a couple of other folks talking. And as a matter of fact, I think they might have streamed it during the debate. So it's like they're testing the waters, trying to stream live information. And they're going to see how that goes. It looks like, and Roger Ailes, of course, is involved. You know, since he's out at Fox.
Yeah. Since he has nothing else.
And again, if you're trying to become president, how do you take a CEO of a company who was ousted for sexual harassment and have him on your team?
How does he become your advisor?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's your advisor, and he was just ousted for misbehavior. That's like saying the devil in a dark blue suit can come over here. I'll take his information. Really? And even Ben Carson.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's had to jump off the Trump train.
Oh,
but here's another is Trump was unhappy with his deal as host and star of his The Apprentice. Simply put, he wanted more money. He had floated the idea of possibly running for president in the hopes that the attention from that would make his negotiating position stronger. If he's a billionaire, why does he need more money from
and
The Apprentice?
Why does he need, right. And why does he need to have those backward so-called strategic plans to get more money? Because he ain't a billionaire, y'all.
I think he's a. I think he's got a couple of billion. I do not believe for one moment.
Maybe one, and that's it. I don't believe for one minute.
Some people estimate maybe as many as four, but most experts are saying he's nowhere near over $10 billion like he says he is.
Oh please.
You know, and if you listen to him. I'm sorry?
I said one, if that.
Yeah, I think he's got a couple of billion, but he's nowhere near what he says at work. Okay. Let's give the phone number out for our listeners again. We're at area code 704-951-5030, so you can call in on that number. We've got a conference line, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And if you're on that line and you decide you want to chime in, just hit *61 and we'll get you in on the conversation. And again, we're just going back and forth talking about the election. We didn't have a guest this week, so we're getting closer to the election. I did go out and do my civic duty, and I voted yesterday. Thank you very much. There wasn't a very long line, and so that's done. I did hear that I think is in Georgia, one of the counties in Georgia, there's only one precinct open for an entire county of 90,000 people. So there's long lines. So I would encourage people, get out there early to vote, because if you start getting these long lines, and the Republicans are going to be doing things to try to suppress the vote with these long lines. Fewer precincts open, you know, they're going to ask you for IDs that are crazy.
And they're not supposed to.
Ken and Colette, we have been seeing in Charlotte, I don't live in Charlotte. I live in a different county, but Charlotte is in Mecklenburg County in North Carolina. And there have been people posting images of the very, very, very long lines in Charlotte. I have not voted yet, but voting for us started yesterday in my county. It started in North Carolina on October the 20th, but our early voting polls did not open until yesterday here in the county that I vote in, so I will be going early this week. I never worry about the long lines because I live in a rural area with, you know, not a large population like Charlotte, which has close to 1 million residents.
Yeah, and the good news is that, you know, they can't count the ballots yet. But in terms of the participation, more Democrats are out voting. 9 of the 12 states that have started early voting, 9 more Democrats have voted than Republicans. That's not to say they actually voted Democrat or Republican, but more Democrats than Republicans have voted by a pretty significant margin, if I recall. So that's good news.
Well, here they're reporting that Texas, the Texas voting bloc, is doing wonders. It's on the ticker on GMA. The Texas is doing outstanding in early voting. And here there are, I had the number, but I went to a training on Saturday, and they told us the number of polling places that are open for early voting. Oddly enough, there aren't any in the northern part of LA County, nothing in Pasadena, nothing in Altadena. So the early voting up there is unless you go to the valley or somewhere in LA, there are no early polling places. So it's I'm sure that they did it based on the population of the cities.
Yeah. So right now, Republicans voted more in Florida, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. Democrats lead in Arizona, Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Virginia. That was as of yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that's what it looks like now. But again, if people get out involved, and I think that's really going to be the key here, and we're going to be coming up to a break in a couple of minutes. But I think the key is if it's going to be voter participation, I think the Democrats win. And they're looking for a landslide. They're really, looking for a landslide, whether it's a popular vote landslide or electoral. It looks like an electoral college landslide. One of the charts I saw had Hillary up over 300 electoral votes with Trump, but like had 179 or something like that.
Yeah, so I did see that.
It could be fairly significant. So folks, if you're listening, please get out and vote. Try to vote early if you can. If you can't, you know, just make sure you vote. But try to vote early. That way, hopefully, you can avoid some of the long lines. Sometimes you may not. Like Scotty just said, people are posting things showing some long lines in certain areas. So give yourself time. And your job, your employer, has to let you off.
Has to give you the time off.
Yes.
Before we go to break, we're having issues with the studio line. That's that 704 line. The calls come in, but it won't allow me to add them without putting the host on hold. So we're going to revert back to the conference line only. Let me give out that number. It is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. You could use the flash phone as well, but if you want to make a comment from the conference line, hit *6 and 1, or I'll assume that you are just tuned in listening through your phone. We do have a caller on the conference line. We'll go to break first and then we'll come back.
Okay, great. Thanks, Scotty.
You're welcome.
And we are Change Matters. I am Colette Williams. Thank you for joining us. We're going to break, and we'll be back.
You're listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
Okay, and we are back. I am Colette Williams, and this is Change Matters. Thank you for joining us. I believe we have a caller on the line.
Yes, Scotty? Area code 323. You're on Change Matters Solutions with Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams. Please state your name and go ahead with your question or comment.
Good morning. This is Andrea James, today's entrepreneur.
Hi, good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Hi, Andrea.
Good. How are you?
The fact that you're talking about, thank you for having me on the show, and the ancestors and what we're talking about today is just, I wanted to bring up a point. I saw something on the internet this morning that the people that are out voting early, the voting machines are jumping.
They're
Do you
jumping.
Know what that means?
No.
Jumping. There's a lady that... she and her husband went to vote yesterday, and they realized that they both voted for Hillary. But as they voted for Hillary, their vote, the machine jumped and turned their vote over to Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
So
she
reported it to the people where she was, and the guy said, okay, well, we'll take this machine out of commission because it's not working. So there's some cheating going on. You really gotta pay attention when you go to the voting polls. If you vote for Hillary Clinton and you see that your vote has automatically jumped to Donald Trump, immediately report it. That goes without saying. Report
that
it.
Goes
That's just
with, yeah.
asinine. Really, as you say, Colette, are you, huh?
Yes,
he doesn't want to be president,
those kinds of things are happening.
About?
Yeah.
Well, that's the machine behind him. I still don't think he wants to be president. That I think that's the people behind the scenes.
I have a question.
I
have a question.
I still don't know. I don't know where it was, but nationwide, we need to pay attention.
Why are
other things that are underhanded?
Why are voters allowing electronic voting machines? Did they not learn anything from 2000, 2004, or the Democratic primary? Because these things were being reported during the Democratic primary, and that's why the DNC has a class action lawsuit against it. So the electronic voting, that happened to me once. I had voted for Ralph Nader in 2000, and the vote flipped to Bush. And that was the last election in North Carolina that we had those electronic voting machines. Now we have paper ballots that you feed into the machine, but at least you have a paper ballot to you know, record your vote. These electronic voting machines have been known to been hackable. There have been documentaries made about black box voting and what have you. So I just don't understand why voters in certain parts of the country are not taking their election commission to task and getting rid of these machines that we know, again, are hackable and vulnerable.
Right. And those are the things.
We're the only nation that has voting, but we don't have one specific, as Scotty was just saying, we don't have one specific way of voting. And that, I think, that's something that really needs
to be. Because each state and county can do it as the way they wish. But
there should be one uniform practice across the country. There should be one uniform practice. Every state does not need to say, or should not have the right to say, we don't want to vote that way. That's where problems occur, because everybody's doing something different.
Well, which is why we had the Civil Rights, the Voting Rights Act of 1964, because especially down in the South, all the things that they were doing. And of course, that's been, you know, they threw that out with those Supreme Court decisions. But, you know, there's really no way to really make sure everything, because even if you have paper ballots, there's a way to do that. You have ballot stuffing, box stuffing, you know, things like that. You've got people doing all sorts of things. So there's going to be some shenanigans going on all over the place. But it's interesting because they've been talking about voter fraud, and you know, Trump has been talking about voter fraud, and he said just the other day something about 2 million dead people on the voter rolls. You know, and of course, everybody on the right is up in arms because there's 2 million people. Now, first of all, whether or not you believe that, the thing about it is,
it is true.
It's true. But guess what? Nobody calls the election commission and says, "Hey, Dad died, Mom died, my brother died, my sister died off the voter roll." There's gonna be dead people on the voter roll, and dead person on the voter rolls or registered does not equal a vote. You could have 10 million, 20, 30 million people on the vote. If they don't cast a vote, it doesn't make a difference in the world.
Yes, and I think has been shown there's very little actual voter fraud. But, I mean, it is true.
31, and I've been researching this for the past few years. 31, and there was another guy that just came up. I think he's out of Loyola. He searched 1 billion votes. They came up with 31 cases of actual. And you have to be careful, because when they talk, there's election fraud and there's voter fraud. Actual in-person voter fraud, that's the only thing all this voter ID laws are going to combat, is in-person voter fraud. They found 31 cases. And if you look at those cases, I haven't seen the detail yet, but if you look at them, I remember reading a couple of years ago, they found one. It was a woman who had, and mother was bedridden, so she went down and voted for her mother. There was another one, a guy voted for
that
his brother.
That doesn't constitute voter fraud.
Technically it's voter fraud because you can't do that, but it's not nefarious voter fraud.
No,
you know,
it isn't.
And do you realize what you would have to do how many people you would have to have doing that in order to really affect a national presidential election? And how many people are going to get in the car, go down there, wait in line, vote for yourself, get out of that line, drive to another precinct, get in line, vote again, and possibly get in line to another precinct, vote again. Then they talk about all these people's names. You have to know who you're going to vote for. You can't just walk up and say, give me a name. You have to know whose name is on the voter rolls. So,
and let me tell you,
logistically getting it done, it is logistically impossible.
And the other part of that, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to just get this out. I went to a training on Saturday about the polls and how we are to run the polls. And as you stated, Ken, logistically impossible, it's practically impossible straight across the board. Because the way that the registrar has everything set up, and boy, I hope I remember everything, the way it's set up, it's impossible for somebody to go in and say, my name is so-and-so, because one, you'll never see the names on that master list. There are three master registers, and it's impossible for people to come in multiple times to go and vote. It just doesn't happen. And based on what we saw in that training and what I know, and this is the second time I've been a poll worker, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And I don't care how many times he touts voter fraud or election fraud or this is phony. He is a liar because he just doesn't know.
I have a question for both of you. And just trying to be objective, as journalists, we should be objective. I'm not saying you two are journalists. You're talk hosts, and you are entitled to give your opinions on things, but what about the Clinton campaign and the Obama administration also putting out their false information about the Russians hacking the elections? I mean, to me, they're doing the same thing Trump is doing. What are your thoughts?
I've heard them talk about that. From what I understand, and I haven't done a lot of research on this, is they seriously believe, all of the intelligence people believe, that the Russians are doing that.
Do they believe or know?
I'm sorry?
Do they believe or do they know?
Well, they say they know it's coming from the Russians.
Because okay, who are these people, though, Kenny? Who are these unnamed people? How do we know that these people exist? And why do we trust the U.S. intelligence service is my question.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could only believe them so far. But again, that's what they're saying. And it's possible. It is possible that that's happening. Now, is it the absolute truth?
Anything is possible.
Is it the absolute truth? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, not in terms of the hacks. Not in terms of the hacks, which they have not offered any proof whatsoever that the Russian government is behind these hacks. But just the other day, they admitted that the U.S. government was behind the Stuxnet virus. So they hack other countries as well. So I find that to be very hypocritical. But I'm talking about the election. On one side of the mouth, you're saying that the Russians may be trying to hack the elections for Donald Trump, but then on the other side of their mouths, they're saying, oh, that's not possible.
I haven't heard anybody from the other side come back with any argument.
I haven't either.
Unequivocally, it's not. So all I've got to go on is what the Obama administration is saying. And if Hillary, during the debate, said there was like 17 intelligence officials that said, we know that it's coming from the Russians, and also they briefed Hillary and they briefed Trump, and Trump came at during the debate, he said, we don't know if it's the Russians, but he had already been briefed and they said it is the Russians. Now, is that the absolute truth?
No,
he says he doesn't know, but he was briefed, they told him that it was.
But again, they offered no proof whatsoever.
I don't know what proof they're showing. I don't know what proof you can show, you know, and then leaking something. Again, I don't know. But again, I haven't heard anybody from the other side with the argument that, you know, this is an absolute lie, that no, it's not happening. So I can only go on that. You know, so unless somebody has an argument the other side, I have to give at least a little bit of credence to what they're saying.
I give no credence to what they say, because they lie all the time.
Well, governments lie.
So that's supposed to be okay, Ken?
No, it's not
that it's okay, but we have to understand that governments lie all the time, and they only say what they feel that they need to give the audience or the listeners or the people in the country.
You know, 9/11 was a big lie.
They're not going to give us...
goes all the way back to the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to give us all the information. We have to find out ourselves. We have to be vigilant in making sure that we get the proper information. We have to go to those venues or those sites that will give us the facts. And we're still not going to get all of the facts. So we don't know for sure if the Russians are doing this. They tell us that they are. And what reason would they have to lie, or what reason would they have to tell us? So there's, it's going to be a lie either way you slice it, on either side. It's not going to be 100% honest. And we have to understand that. So in making sure that we vote, when it comes to voting, we have to get out there and be vigilant. We know that things are going to happen. And we've already been told that the other person is going to start touting how this is phony, it's rigged, it's all these things. And we know that's not true. We know that is not true.
But see, it's so just like he's not believing the polls now. But remember, he says
it's all phony.
But he liked the polls when he was ahead.
Yeah.
Every rally, he starts with, hey, we're doing great in the polls. Hey, we're doing great in the polls. Hey, we're doing great in
Somebody's
the polls. But now you're behind and you're saying the polls are skewed.
Right.
You know, he wants it both ways. You know, and remember, Romney didn't believe the polls. You know.
Right.
So
remember, Gore didn't. Gore and that fiasco. Remember that. So we're not going to go back to that. We are not going to go back to that fiasco. So not only do we have to be vigilant, and we have to advocate that what took place back then cannot happen this time. Cannot happen. And it's I don't want to say that it's scary, but it is what's the word, Ken? It's not scary, but being one of the two people in charge of a polling place, that is a task.
It's a daunting task, yeah.
Daunting task, that's the word. It's
and I just had a friend message me on Facebook, and he's actually a right winger, and he's saying that let me see, I think he said up in Chicago or somewhere that the machines are doing the opposite. They're taking votes for Trump and giving them to Hillary.
That happened during the Democratic primary. So, I mean, I do research these issues, being that, well, you all know who I am and what I do.
Yeah.
Research these issues. But see, again, where was the Obama administration or any of these officials who were so concerned about the Russians hacking or anybody hacking? Where were they during the Democratic primary? Chicago reports, just like he's saying, that the votes were flipped. From Trump to Hillary, votes were flipped from Sanders to Clinton. Also in the New York, in one of the New York boroughs, that which was predicted to heavily go for Sanders, those people reported the same thing. Arizona, where the election, the voter registration database had been hacked. And people's registration changed, and they have a closed primary. So if you're a Democrat and your registration been changed to independent or Republican, where you can't vote in the Democratic primary. So again, this is why I try to stay objective as possible. And the DNC already has a class action lawsuit. So I'm not agreeing with Donald Trump or anybody. I don't care for either him or Clinton. But I'm saying the election has already been rigged from the Democratic side. So, I mean, the truth is the truth. How are we going to ignore all this evidence?
Well, we're not going to ignore it. But we're also going to make sure that people are voting and do our best to ensure that it is not rigged, or there's nothing that we can do. But people who are in charge of polling places have to know that it's their responsibility.
And that's why I commend you. I commend you, and I've said this in the past. And I'm glad here where I am, we have a number of black residents who are always poll watchers and what have you. We have to be part of the process, even behind the scenes. And I commend you, Colette, for volunteering.
And I think one has to be done at a national level. I'm not sure who would have be the type of person to kick this thing off. But, you know, we talk about all these voting irregularities, and we always talk about it right around this time. And then after the election, we bitch and moan for a few months, and then we don't think about it until the next go-round, until the next 4 years. And, you know, again, after the 2000 debacle, you know, somebody should have said, you know, we really need to sit down and figure out how we're going to get this done. Again, like you mentioned, Colette, you know, we've got all the states doing them their own way. You know, you've got counties doing one county does, you know, it even includes things like when you talk about these voter ID laws, you know, closing polling places, you know, not having enough early voting. Why are you making it so hard for people to vote?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There's corruption. You know, nobody's sitting down trying to figure out how to make it as the entire process. If you have one process and across the country, it'd be a lot easier because you could control it easier. But when everybody's doing what they want to do, and again, my friend's saying it's at Illinois and Maryland. That may be happening. And it may be in LA where it's doing it the other way around. Are these actually happening, or is it just people saying it? I don't know. You know, and I don't know how we get past it, because if no one can say has a specific method for doing things, and it's never going to be scot-free. It's never going to be 100%, because again, you can stuff ballot boxes, you can do all sorts of things, but there's got to be some sense where it's got to be looked at and say we can't continue to have. And you're right, Scotty. I remember that during the primary. But you know, again, I had issues with Bernie Sanders being an independent all these years and then running on the Democratic machine. Right. Trump, the same thing. He's never been a Republican, but he wants to run on the Republican machine. And I think there's some thought needs to be given to if you're not a registered in that party, you can't run on
He actually did register as a Democrat, or he wouldn't have been able to run in their primary. I understand what you're saying. He's been a lifelong independent, just like Trump. I don't know what he's been other than, you know, a very undesirable, despicable human being all his life.
That's the party he's running. Yep, that's the one.
I understand that, but the process has to have integrity. And I feel like the federal government needs to partner with the states and fund these elections and stop privatizing everything. See, that's another part of the problem. Uh-huh. The elections are privatized.
Mm-hmm. And they can do whatever they want.
Everything for a profit. Everything for a profit.
Everything for a profit. That's right. Everything for a profit. And sitting in that extremely cold room going through that training, it really, really tells you a lot about the process, because everything is a rig. Everything is about the process and making sure that people get in, they do what they're supposed to do, and they get out. It's very difficult for someone to go into a polling place and do something that's fraudulent.
But that I have to say this, I didn't mean to cut you off with regard to, I'm against that as well. But the flip side of that is the government is not known for doing things very efficiently. You know, when the military was paying, was it $700 for a toilet seat? You know, $500 for a hammer and things like that. And as a matter of fact, I was watching something yesterday. They've got, I can't remember how many tanks that are sitting there unused. And now the military is wanting another few billion dollars to buy more tanks.
Well, we tolerate it.
Yeah.
As a people, we tolerate it.
We tolerate it. And we have to stop allowing those things to happen. Just like here in California, they're asking vets to pay back
those bonuses.
Those signs, they're asking them to pay that back. Who does that? Really? They're asking veterans to pay back those bonuses, but this moron was paid $17 million on an insurance payment, and now they're finding out that the damage that he claimed, there was very little damage, especially there wasn't $17 million worth of damage. He got a $17 million payout for that hotel in Florida, damage.
You know what that story says to me as a veteran? It says to me is that those were mercenaries. Those were mercenaries. When you had to pay people tens of thousands of dollars to get them to join the military, they are not joining for God, country, and liberty and freedom and all that kind of stuff. They are paid mercenaries. That's why. That's why they pay them all that kind of money, to entice them. I didn't get a bonus.
Now they want it back.
I didn't get a bonus when I signed up for the military. They weren't offering bonuses for my particular field. What they were offering bonuses for is like infantry, artillery, and things of that nature. But I'm saying, hey, why do you have to entice people with all this money to get them to join up? Aren't they supposed to just be doing it because they're patriots?
That's an interesting. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. That's really interesting. Because at that point, I guess you do become somewhat of a mercenary.
Right. You know? Well, you know what? They didn't say which area the veterans are in or what they specialized in. They're just reporting that veterans are being forced to pay this money back. And it's not a little bit of money either. It's not a little bit of money. And I believe there's only been one that actually paid money back. I haven't seen too many reports. I've seen one.
I read an article that they had collected millions already. And so it might not just be in California that this is going on. If they've collected...
It may not be.
Yeah.
It may not be.
Yeah, and it's not veterans. It's soldiers. It's
National Guard and Reserves.
National Guard, yeah.
Yeah, depending on his demand, soldiers pay back huge cash bonuses. 10,000 soldiers who were paid juicy cash bonuses to re-enlist in the California National Guard.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. And they're being asked to pay it back. How do you send somebody, and then they get back and you ask them to pay it back? How does that happen? Their lives aren't really... That just doesn't make any sense to me. You're asking them to pay it back. Why? And I don't believe I've even seen or read why they're asking them to pay it back.
Well, I did. It was somebody that was part of the enlistment program was fudging the paperwork. And those bonuses were supposedly not supposed to be paid, but somebody fudged some paperwork.
Right, recruiters. Recruiters. Because recruiters are under tremendous pressure to meet numbers, right. Like salespeople are. Yeah. And that is what I read, is that these were the work of recruiters, that they weren't actually supposed to give out those bonuses, but they created them so they could meet their numbers because they're under pressure to do this.
Kind of like what Wells Fargo did with the credit cards, giving people.
And kind of like. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same way Los Angeles Unified did.
Where are all these patriots at? I'm seeing all these Donald Trump supporters that want to talk about, you know, this and that and the other. Why aren't they signing up?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And these people who have these debacles, and they find out decades later that there's been some kind of impropriety. We want you to pay it back. What? The people that got the money have to pay it back because of someone on the inside who was doing something illegal, fraudulent, but the recipient pays it back because of someone else's misdealings. Okay. I guess that's okay. That just, again, we hear, see things. Things are reported all day long that just don't add up. They just don't make sense. And the John Q. public gets it all the time. They just don't make sense. And we get it all the time. We pay for someone else's improprieties.
See, Army says no to more tanks, but Congress insists. Congress is insisting on spending billions of dollars on new tanks when the Army is saying we don't need them.
Insider trading.
Yep.
Yeah,
That's what exactly that's about. What that that's is. About these congressmen, because that's come up as a campaign issue in Richard Byrd's senatorial campaign here in North Carolina. He's been there for 20 years, voted 7 times to increase his pay, voted against Congress being prohibited from using insider information that they are privy to profit from. And this man has become a multimillionaire. I thought public service was about, you know,
public service.
Yeah. I didn't know you can get rich doing public service. So yeah. I'm in the wrong field, y'all.
Yeah, okay, me too. Yeah. I'm thinking of becoming a public servant. Yeah, because if you can get rich that way in a short period of time, you maybe that's something I might take.
Well, when Eric Cantor left Congress, he immediately got a job paying, was it $3 million a year, something like that,
as a lobbyist.
No, I can't remember who he went to work for, but immediately.
Well, look at the bozo Sarah Palin. Look at her. She called herself a public servant, running for one of the highest seats in the land. She claimed she was a public servant, and look at her now.
Yeah, that was a joke, and then she quit.
That's a joke, and she's the mother of a. Oh, never mind.
And she's the only person in the world that could quit a job and saying, "I'm not a quitter."
Yeah. Come on. Well, we're getting close to our time limit. And one of the other things that I wanted to give out, Ken, we gave out the phone numbers. You gave that out. We also have an email address. So if folks don't get to the show and they want to comment on the show, please, we are changematters99@gmail.com. Remember, changematters99@gmail.com. So send us your comments, your questions, even your solutions, because we are a show of solutions. We're talking about the election because this is a very, very sensitive time. It's a tenuous time. This is a time when people need to understand you've got to get out and vote. You absolutely have to exercise your right, and you have to vote. It's your responsibility. We've got to get this done. This is a very, very crucial time, and not voting is not even an option. So I hope you're registered. Yesterday was the last day to register here in California. You've got to get out and register, even if it means everybody has to carpool, and there's no law, there's no constitutional law against carpooling to your polling place. So get out and vote. Call in. Next week we're going to have a guest on from Pasadena, John Kennedy, who's going to come on and talk to us about politics again. Councilman John Kennedy from Pasadena. And on Election Day we're going to have a senator on. So we've got some very good, lively, juicy shows coming up, and we're highlighting the election. We're talking about the moron and Hillary Clinton. And for those of you that want to be mad at me for calling that person a moron, show me that he isn't. And I'll call him whatever he is, because he just ain't real.
Well, there's Huffington Post. Trump claims military has conceptually endorsed him.
Yeah, that sounds like at the debate when he says, "Oh yeah, I talk to the generals all the time." Yeah, we talk all the time.
Yeah.
What, really? What general, walking, talking, living, and breathing, will spend 5 seconds talking to something like that? You have nothing in common with the general. Really? He's the same person that said, "I've always wanted to have a purple heart. Who wants to have a purple heart?"
And he also said last week he kind of feels like he's sort of a blue collar guy.
Yeah, come on, really?
Yeah. And then people eat that stuff up.
Yeah. That's just insane. Who wants to have a purple heart? Who wants to have a purple heart? Somebody that's been damaged and injured and gave their life on the line. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. He lies, he cheats, he steals.
Glenn Beck is calling him a frightening sociopath.
And that's how, yeah.
Now, Glenn Beck you know, calls you a frightening sociopath. And I tell you, you know, he's in a war with Fox News, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, we are at the bottom of the hour. I mean, the top of the hour. It looks like we'll have to cut this one. It always goes by so fast. Again, this is Change Matters. Thanks for joining us this time. And thanks for those folks who have been sending us emails. We really thank you for your input. And we'll be in touch. Send us email. Call us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you next week. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
Yeah, I'm Colette Williams. And we will come back to you next week at the same time, same place, same station. Join us. We've got a lively conversation coming up next week. As I said, our guest will be John Kennedy, Councilman John Kennedy from Pasadena, California. So join us. We're at election time and we need to know what you're thinking. We want you guys to help us bring solutions. It's up to us. We've got to bring solutions to these things that are going on in our communities. So join us again. We're signing off. Thank you again for joining us. I am Colette. Take care. Thank you.